Strength for Moral Action. Morality, living according to the mores or the customs of the kingdom of heaven, of which we are citizens, must manifest itself in activity. We've already seen that we need faith, we need grace, we need the new birth. Day by day, we need strengthening to do what we already know we ought to do. The psalmist went through this problem. In the day when I cried, thou answered me. Prayer is a very important part. He gained strength by praying, and the Lord assisted him within his inmost soul to carry out all the moral behavior of a true citizen of the kingdom of God. Now let's think for a moment about the role of prayer. God will do for us when we pray what he cannot do for us when we do not pray. Why? The Christian stands between God on one side and Satan on the other. He must exercise freedom of choice. Satan is carefully observing, and he sees that this being, this person, is tending towards him. He's a citizen of the kingdom of Satan. He's a subject of the throne of iniquity. And God is ready to help. And Satan says, no, he's mine. He's mine. As soon as that person says, Lord, help me, even with groanings that cannot be put into words, nonverbal cries for help, the resources of heaven flood and flow to his assistance. So the psalmist declared, when I cried, thou answerest me. So we must pray. And as you look into the lives of Bible characters, those who prayed, those who were most successful, cried to God many, many times. Their weaknesses, their strengths, their successes, their failures are all recorded for us, that we might see and take courage. It was through prayer that they gained strength for moral activity. Part number one, the dedicated will. The whole Christian relationship begins with the right exercise of the will. You should read carefully Steps to Christ. The human will, the determination to go toward Satan or toward God, is a freedom with which God will never interfere. The human will is the most sacred trust God has given to us. He will never interfere with it. He will appeal to it. He will bring circumstances to bear so that it might be exercised in the right way, but he will never force it. He wishes us to dedicate it to himself. On the way to Damascus, Paul asked Jesus Christ, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Writing in the third chapter of Philippians, at the end of his life, he can say, this one thing I do. What will you have me do? This one thing I'll do. What was the one thing? He forgot the past. He stretched forward to the things that were before. He pressed toward the mark. Now, earlier on in this chapter, he is declared what he used to do. He says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And the word persecuting there and the word pressing here are identical. When he persecuted the church, he put every power within him to arrest the Christians. Now that he had met Jesus Christ, the same energy was turned towards pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. This word high means uplifting, upward drawing, dynamic calling of God in Jesus Christ. And the in Jesus Christ, whenever in is used in the New Testament in connection with a person, it indicates a personal relationship with him. Now, Paul purposed that this one thing, one activity, was to be the total of his life. It was a free choice. we must select. In the case of Martha and Mary, you remember Jesus told Martha, Mary hath chosen. She hath willed to have the better part. We must exercise our will day by day and many times each day to do what is right. Part number two, the conscience. What does this word mean? Well, let's break it up and look at it. The first syllable, con, means with. And science, the conscience part of it, the science part of it, comes from the root word to know. See, skio, I know. The conscience is that quality of the mind by which we know what is right or wrong. The Bible speaks of many kinds of consciences. They can be seared, calloused. They can be abused, unresponsive. They can be renewed. Years ago, the students in Mount Vernon Academy gave us an altimeter in appreciation for a week of prayer. It sounds impossible to believe, but this was over 20 years ago. And I've moved that altimeter from automobile to automobile, and it's still as good as the day they gave it to us. As we go up the San Bernardino Mountains, we pass 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 mark as we climb into the mountains. Sometimes the barometric pressure changes and the altimeter needs to be readjusted. So we see the 2,000 mark and I ask my wife, would you adjust that? And she adjusts the needle so that it marks the 2,000 mark. Then while the barometric pressure remains the same, we can go up and down. We've been up the Colorado Mountains up to 12,000 feet. And as we come down, 11, 10, 9, 5, 4, it accurately marks them. And we check up with the markers. And I think the human conscience is something like that altimeter. Once we adjust it, once we calibrate it with the mind of Jesus Christ, it will give us help to know what is right or wrong. Now it can go out of whack. Barometric pressure changes. It shows 1,700 feet instead of 2,000 feet. It needs to be adjusted. And so our conscience, that attribute of the mind by which we know what is right or wrong, with which we judge, conscience, by which we know, must be checked and rechecked with the life, the mores, the customs, the ethical behavior, the teachings of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Once that's so, then we can rely upon that conscience. It's a good conscience. Part number three, what part is the Holy Spirit in all this? Well, the Holy Spirit renews the inner mind. The Holy Spirit is the creative dynamic. Just as the Holy Spirit moved over the waters in Genesis chapter 1, and the word moved there, hovered, describes the relationship of the male bird to the female bird when he's sharing his life. It's a very important figure of speech. It's a life-giving spirit. And that same life-giving spirit can come upon me and impregnate me with the life qualities of the kingdom of God. And every day I must be renewed with might in the inner man through the impartation of the Spirit. And when the Spirit is imparted to me, the impartation of the Spirit is the impartation of the life of Christ. And when the life of Christ comes into me, I am separated from sin, and I am separated from evil, and I am joined to righteousness. Part number four, what part has the Bible got to do with this? The Word of God is inspired. Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate. The theory is in the Bible. The reality was in Christ. I learn the theory. I observe the reality in Jesus Christ. And the power of the Spirit helps me to put the theory into practice. See, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld a glory full of grace and truth. Truth is the theory. Thy Word is truth. Grace is the power. And the grace of the Spirit takes the power of Christ, illustrated in the Word, and makes it real to me. Part number 5, we must continually realize that we are dependent on Christ. As soon as we start doing it ourselves, we will forget, we will lose. I have given many Bible studies. Sometimes a person will compliment me and say, I wish I knew the Bible the way you do. And I get a little feeling of pride. Do you think I can find the next text? Oh, no. I have to say, Lord, forgive me for this feeling of pride and help me. Right there, he brings the text to my mind. The Lord is ready to help us in every time of need. To attain, part number 6, to perfect victory in Jesus Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can overcome the world. There is no problem, no difficulty, no hardship, no sin, but the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ can help us to overcome it. Let me wrap this together. As you are listening to me talking to you, you may become convicted of some sin, some weakness that you must overcome. Temper, words, impure thoughts, indulgence of wrong reading, too much television, too much arrogance in your work, whatever it is. The Spirit has made you aware. Your conscience is stimulating you. The power of divine grace is waiting. Heaven is open to your prayer. The Bible has shown you what is wrong. Now, as you move in to accomplish what God tells you to do, His power will help you to do it. As the children of Israel, led by the priests, walked into the Jordan opened. They could have stood on the bank and waited for a month. It would never have stopped flowing. When they acted, divine power flowed. As we act out the theory, empowered by the grace, sustained by the Spirit, stimulated by our conscience, Christ-likeness will become a reality.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.